Hello and welcome to another episode of Yashoda Health Podcast brought to you by Yashoda Hospitals. I'm your host, Dr. Lakshmi, and our topic for the day is understanding the inflammatory bowel disease. In this episode, we will talk in depth about inflammatory bowel disease, its symptoms, and its treatment. Dr. Santosh Enaganti, Senior Consultant Gastroenterologist and Hepatologist, Advanced Interventional Endoscopist from Yashoda Hospitals, Hitech City, will join us for this episode to provide expert advice on this topic. So let's get started.
Hello.
So doctor, can you briefly explain what inflammatory bowel disease is and are there any different types of IBD?
IBD is an inflammatory bowel disorder, as you mentioned. It affects the inner lining of the large intestine, in particular condition called ulcerative colitis, and also the middle part of the muscle, as well as the inner lining in second variety called Crohn's disease. These two conditions are chronic disorders. That means they produce chronic inflammation, changes in the lining, under the lining of the intestines, and they can cause chronic inflammation, which is thickening of the bowel, ulceration, and sometimes secretion of the mucus, causing a little bit of altered bowel habits.
So what are the common symptoms of inflammatory bowel disease, and how do they differ from other digestive conditions?
So inflammatory bowel disease in early stages can just present like simple gastroenteritis with a change of bowels whenever they are exposed to triggering food items. It can also present with abdominal pain, which can be recurrent, crampy type. And then they can also have nighttime diarrhea and occasional blood. If the condition becomes more severe, they can have blood more often, and the frequency of the stools also increases, and the consistency of the stools will change from the solid normal stools to loose and gaseous stool, and they can also develop abdominal pain and distension. Very rarely they can develop ulcers in the mouth and extra intestinal features. That means outside the bowel they can also affect other systems, causing red eye, back pain. But depending on the age group of presentation, there are other conditions we should think about. So in younger people, where irritable bowel syndrome is more common than inflammatory bowel disease, where the blood tests will be normal, they will have non-progressing symptoms. That means they will have slight diarrhea, change of bowels, but they will not develop any further complications. Whereas in the elderly group, where there is a blood in the motions, one should think about colorectal cancer, which is far more common, so we need to consider colorectal cancers. And in any age group, if they are having continuous fever, weight loss, in India we need to also keep in mind tuberculosis of the abdomen and small intestine. So the depending on the age group, these are the different differentials we tend to consider. In very young people under the age of 10 years, usually food allergies are the commonest cause for the changes in the bowels, as well as the abdominal pain, including intermittent infections due to eating out and change of the diet.
So doctor, are there any risk factors for developing this condition, and how do you think it can be prevented?
Normally stress is the predisposing factor for the first presentation of the IBD. Immature gut, that means clean living, and frequent use of antibiotics are one of the other sources thought to be related in triggering the first episode of the inflammatory bowel disease. And it is partly genetically driven. That means some people will have certain genes related to the inflammatory bowel disease, which makes them prone for developing this condition following a simple gastroenteritis or food poisoning.
So what are the current treatment options for inflammatory bowel disease, and how do they differ depending on the subtype and severity of the disease, doctor?
There are predominantly two separate varieties of inflammatory bowel disorders. One is called ulcerative colitis. It only affects the large intestine, and it will present with bloody diarrhea and its complications. Whereas the Crohn's disease can affect anywhere from the mouth to the anal canal. The predominant type of Crohn's disease involves last part of the small intestine, which joins the large intestine. And also some people will develop perianal abscess, fistulas, which are also seen in non-Crohn's patients. And Crohn's disease tend to affect bowel at multiple areas, whereas ulcerative colitis continuously affects the bowel, but it will also have three different predominant varieties. One will affect only 15 centimeters of the distal part of the large intestine. Another will be the most common one, the left side of the colon. Third variety will involve the complete large intestine, whereas small bowel Crohn's differs in different people.
So doctor, can you discuss the role of diet and lifestyle in managing IBD and any specific recommendations for patients?
If we take ulcerative colitis, it is not mainly diet dependent. It can be triggered with spicy food, and repeated infections can cause flare up of the ulcerative colitis. Whereas in Crohn's disease, there is some evidence to show that high protein, high fat diet can trigger active Crohn's disease, and smoking also causes severe disease in the Crohn's, particularly in male, and also they can develop what is called more stricturing disease, means there will be narrowing of the bowel at multiple places in patients who smoke and who have the Crohn's disease. Healthy eating, avoiding repeated course of antibiotics, and avoiding high quantity of red meat and fat can lessen the frequency of the flare-ups, and also will keep the disease under in remission. Of course, antioxidant like fresh fruits and curd to give probiotics will also play minor role in IBD prevention.
So doctor, what are some common misconceptions about this condition that you would like to debunk?
A lot of people will think that IBD, when we diagnose, it will get better with a course of antibiotics or a small 1 week medical therapy. Unfortunately, once the IBD develops, it is like diabetes and hypertension. So IBD needs regular monitoring and regular treatment. One should not stop medications without doctor's consultation. A perfectly controlled IBD can flare up and land you in the hospital if you self-medicate or if you stop the medications without the advice of the doctors. Other thing is, IBD, when it is controlled very well, will not affect the lifestyle. So people can have good quality of life, and it is very well treatable condition, and there are very powerful, effective, safe medications available for the management of the IBD. Another misconception is, during the pregnancy, people tend to worry about taking any medications so that babies will not be affected. But because of the available data and safety information we have since 1995 onwards, most of the medications we use in IBD are very safe in pregnancy, and they must not be stopped, and one should be encouraged to discuss planning of the pregnancy and also monitoring during the pregnancy with your gastroenterologist, who will know about these medications very well, and they will advise you appropriately.
So thank you, doctor, and thank you all for listening, and stay tuned for more episodes from Yashoda Hospitals.
Thank you.